God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Welcome in to Do Not Keep Silent. Jason Dessert with you tonight. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. Going to dig into why does God allow suffering? Yeah, don't be a pushover. Again, this is Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason Dessert, your host for the program. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. So I figured let's talk about why does God allow suffering. Also, saw, a video recently that was kind of, disturbing to me. I'd like to share with you just a little clip from that and discuss it with you. Again, find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. You know, I would venture to say that, why does God allow suffering is a huge question. In fact, it's probably one of the biggest questions many people have, both followers of Christ and not. I mean, think about it. If God is so loving, why does he allow suffering in the world? Well, the easy answer, and we could just get out of here in about 30 seconds, would be free will. But what does that mean and why? Friends, free will is the term that God allows us, his creations, to make choices on our own. Now, we are autonomous beings, and the God who created us does not control us. Now, friends, I know that might be hard for some people to hear. But God created us to make our own decisions right from the very beginning. God allowed the first humans, Adam and Eve, the choice between obeying him and disobeying him. I mean, consider this. He gave them one rule. Do not eat from this one particular tree. They had the free will to choose what they did. Well, did they obey that one single rule? No. Friends, you can actually find the rest of the story in Genesis 3. Now, God is all-knowing, so he knew ahead of time that at some point his beloved creation that was so good would disobey him. So you might even question, why did he give them free will in the first place? Why do we have free will? Well, we know God is a loving God, and in fact, that God is love. We find this in 1 John 4:7 through 21. Now, there is no question in the Bible that God is good. God created us in his image so that we could love him. If God created us with no free will, with no choice, then we would love him. Because that's how we were wired, not because we want to. You see the difference? You know, have you ever seen young children get into a fight? When a parent intervenes and determines who the offending party was, it's almost certain that they're probably going to say something like, now you say you're sorry to her. Well, does the kid do it? Well, yes, but usually, a lot of times, his heart just isn't in it. He only says it because he's forced to, not because he's truly sorry. I think you get what I'm putting down here. Well, that's how it would be with us if God had not given us free will. We can only love God because we're forced to, not because we want to. Just like with fighting children, love that's forced isn't really love at all. You wouldn't want someone to love you only because they're forced to, Would you? So, free will, well, has been explained, you know? What about the question of why such a good, loving God allows suffering? Well, God allows suffering because we choose to do things that cause it. Our free will allows us to make choices that disobey God. And then we suffer the consequences for them. Natural law. How about this? If you disobey the traffic rules, you choose to drive your car into another car, then you get to suffer the negative consequences of a smashed car and possibly bodily injuries, maybe even injuring someone else. But what about bad things that happened to us that we had no effect on? What if you're the car that got run into through no fault of your own? Well, friends, that too is indirectly the result of a choice to disobey God. Before Adam and Eve sinned, creation was very good. There was no death, no pain, no thorns, and no thistles even. When Adam and Eve sinned, the earth suffered the consequences too, along with humankind. Death and disease entered the world, and humans became susceptible to them. But the fact remains that God is still good, even though his creation has been corrupted by evil. We humans have original sin, and we're continually suffering the consequences until the day comes that those of us who believe in Jesus can join God in heaven forever. Now, friends, as I continue on here, someone has left a comment saying starving kids in Africa are due to original sin and their decision to disobey God. Lowercase g, by the way. Got it. Friends, this is where it gets difficult. Because, as I've shared in the past, are you truly looking for truth, friend? Or are you just wanting your truth? Because I never even said that. I never even said it. It's obviously because of them. What if some people might be starving because of the acts of others? Is that possible? Well, friends, what I like, our friend Charlie Wolcott, who I'll share postings with you sometimes, he wrote this: starving kids in Africa are due to corrupt governments and their decision to disobey God, possibly. There is no such thing as a sin that affects only you. And he says this. I actually really appreciate this. Every sin you commit, every sin I commit, impacts someone else. Friends, I just encourage you to consider that this day. Think that through. Your actions, your decisions, for the good or the bad, affect other people. My name is Jason Dzurek, your host for the program. You can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. When I come back, I want to dig into, does a Christian foundation matter? Does it really matter? And share with you part of a video I found recently as well. Again, this is Do Not Keep Silent.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dzurek.
Imagine, if you will, if Job would have quit and cursed God, but he didn't. We see God blessing Job's life even through great pain and suffering. Friends, we see in Job 42, verse 12, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. George Washington Carver said, "The secret of my success? It is simple. It is found in the Bible." In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If you'd like to dig into more on this idea, find our blog post that's titled Don't Quit.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. You know, in Romans 13, 1 through 2, we see this. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Friends, I'd like to, share with you a story tonight, hopefully to get you to think just a bit through this. And friends, I just want to encourage you to maybe rethink through this scripture. Because, friends, it's totally true. What it's saying is that we need to be subject to the governing authorities. But, friends, and I've shared some of this in the past, who are the governing authorities in our form of government here in the United States of America? Because, friends, that is a huge thing to think about. That is, a very big deal. Because if we don't get the definitions right of who are the governing authorities and who are the subjects in our nation, then that whole text gets turned on its head. We need to correctly interpret this in our time. Now, let's remember that the subjects in our form of government are those who are elected into office and those who work for them. So, let me share this again, putting in proper terms so we can, again, think this through. Romans 13, 1 through 2. For our form of government, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. Friends, that would be we the people. For there is no authority, we the people, except that which God has established. Okay, let's stop there for a moment. So, we the people are the authority in our form of government. And if that's true, then according to the Bible, God established that. And we need to embrace it. The authorities, we the people, that exist have been established by God. Goes on to state, consequently, whoever, that'd be subjects, representatives, whoever rebels against the authority, we the people, is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those subjects and representatives who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For those of you who may be struggling with what I'm sharing here, perhaps that this will help. Looking at founding documents, you see, we the people are the government in the United States of America. We are the government who elect representatives to serve we the people. When these elected subjects work or go outside of their scope of their range of service, within the proper framework of the United States Constitution, friends, they are in rebellion. Let me dig into this a little bit with the following story. One day, Ron, who is the owner of a home, needed to move with his family to another state. He decided to rent this property and found Joe and his family to rent it while he was living out of state. Ron moved to this new property and lived in there in his state, and Joe started renting from Ron. Month after month, Joe paid Ron his rent, and months actually became years. After 15 years of renting, Joe figured out that he had paid Ron what the house was worth and decided to stop paying rent. After the first month of not paying rent, Ron contacted Joe about this, and Joe told Ron, "Oh, don't worry, I'll pay you soon. I've come under some difficult times." Well, friends, this took place for 3 months, and still no payment. Ron decided to take a trip to the house that Joe was renting from him and found that Joe was claiming the house to be his own. Joe would not let Ron in the house. Ron also noticed that some things were now changed to favor what Joe wanted and liked, even though Ron had not agreed to these changes in the least. Joe made claims that others in quote-unquote power had given him permission to make the changes that he wanted, and he no longer needed Ron's permission because times had changed. Yet Ron was the one who held the deed to the property and was the rightful owner. Ron was the one with the rightful claim to the property. Some hearing this might say, well, of course Ron owned the home. Plus, he had the deed. Well, friends, consider this. I believe this little story shows a great parallel going on in our country right now. The renters are our representatives claiming to be the government in the USA, when all they really are is effectively the renters of a position held in an office that the owners, we the people, have given them permission to hold. The owners have given the renters a certain boundary to work within, and many of them are seemingly working outside of their boundary, effectively rebelling against we the people. We the people are the authority that God himself put into place. This is according to Romans 13, friends. How can I make this claim? Well, we the people hold the deed, the U.S. Constitution. And what does it say about rebels in Romans 13? Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Friends, those aren't my words at all. Those are not my words. That is straight up scripture. I encourage you to think about that. Again, my name is Jason Zurich, your host for Do Not Keep Silent as we continue on here. I'd like to share with you something that, again, I found pretty interesting recently. They're holding these congressional proceedings. And, well, friends, when you go in front of them, you need to basically say that you're going to tell the truth. So you say that you're going to do that. Well, friends, I'd like you to take a listen to this of what they've deleted and just kind of hear the short banter back and forth on this piece of audio.
Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that the testimony you're about to give is true and correct to the best of your knowledge, information, and belief? Thank you. At the record show, the witness.
Point of parliamentary inquiry.
Yes, Mr. Johnson.
I think we left out the phrase, so help me God.
We did.
Could we have the witnesses do it again for the record?
No. Yeah, they want to do it, but some of them don't want to do it. And I don't think it's necessary, and I don't like to assert my will over other people.
Well, it goes back to our founding history. It's been part of our tradition for more than two centuries, and I don't know that we should abandon it now. Could I ask the witnesses if they would choose to use the phrase?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Nadler.
If any witness objects, he should not be asked to identify himself. We do not have religious tests for office or for anything else. and we should let it go with that.
What? Friends, with that said, that is straight up rebellion. That is rebellion for what has been put into place. That is a servant rebelling against what we the people have put into place. I really encourage you to think that through. Pray it through on this day. You know, we've been told time and again that the United States of America is not founded upon Christian principles and is not a Christian nation. Yet, friends, the writings and speeches from our founders seem to say otherwise. So as we wrap up the program tonight, I'd encourage you to please take into consideration these statements when trying to wade through the truth of this matter. From Benjamin Rush, who was a signer of the Declaration of Independence, "My only hope of salvation's in the infinite, transcendent love of God manifested to the world by the death of his Son upon the cross. Nothing but his blood will wash away my sins. I rely exclusively upon it. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." Again, that's from Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration of Independence. How appropriate for this time of year. And Daniel Webster, "If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we and our posterity neglect its instructions and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity." Again, from Daniel Webster. Not just encouragement there, but a warning. Are we going to listen to this warning? Something attributed to John Adams: "We recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus." Friends, quite literally, I could just go on. But I think you get the idea. Now, I am not claiming in the least that all of our founding fathers in the United States were believers in Jesus Christ. No, definitely not. But it does seem fairly certain that the majority of them realized the importance of the Bible and the teachings that are in this book for a society to be based on, and its teachings as a foundation to be built upon. I'd also like to point out that many of the founders speak of Jesus or Christ by name, leaving no doubt of whom they are referring to. Since this is the case, we can also deduce that when the word providence, divine, almighty God, and other such terms are used, they are more than likely than not referring to the God of the Bible. And friends, one last quote for us to dig into. It comes from our sixth president, John Quincy Adams. The first and almost the only book deserving of universal attention is the Bible. "I speak as a man of the world, and I say to you, search the scriptures." Quote for you from John Quincy Adams, our sixth president of the United States of America. If this interests you, I encourage you to go to worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Got a bunch of blog posts up there. You can dig into the year 2015. There's a bunch of posts there regarding not just our government, but what does it really look like to be, well, to be the ones that are governing. You can find, is the owner right? You can also search in the search bar, does a Christian foundation matter? Again, my name is Jason DeZurich, your host for the program. You can find us online at do not keep silent worldviewwarriors.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason DeZurich.
Bear Bryant once said, "We can't have two sets of standards. One set for the dedicated young men who want to do something ambitious, and one set for those who don't." Friends, I, for one, will keep teaching my children that we are all made in the image of God and that we should respect everyone as a person. I will also continue to teach my children the importance of living out godly ways in this world. When they choose to sin against God, we should teach them to take responsibility for their actions and accept the just and natural consequences that come their way. Why? Well, so they'll continue to grow and become mature and complete, not lacking anything. All people of God, we need to stay the course for such a time as this.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
You don't know me now, you don't know me now. I'm not a pushover, I'm not a pushover. You don't know me now, you don't know me now. I'm not a pushover.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
I will play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.